Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
And good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, Bobcat fans. Whenever you're listening to us, this is your Brickball mid-season report. I am Zach Levere, and we just seem to be rotating at this point. I am joined tonight with Ryan Foley. I hope you're staying warm over there, man, and I hope all our listeners are staying warm with the weather we've had. I hope we have some people in warm weather climates who listen to this, because I certainly have not been warm lately, but hey, man, we're at Brawl Week. We're almost at the mid-season point. It's crazy to think. School's back in session. Here we go, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I think we are slightly warmer than you are in Montana. I know that for sure, actually. I keep checking in Great Falls in minus 30 degrees at night. I got a good story. So when I was living in Great Falls a couple years ago, before I moved over here, minus 30 stretch, just like you guys are going through right now. My truck didn't start. I had a Toyota Tacoma at the time. I pushed in the clutch. Clutch felt like a slushy, and the truck's like, wah, wah, wah. And I was like, oh man, I got to get to work. And so there's only one thing I could do. I strapped on my ski gear, got on my bike, and pedaled to work in minus 30. I was actually pretty warm by the time I got there. It was great.
Oh, that's crazy, man. No, I was getting ready to go to work early, about 4 a.m. one of the mornings to help at the airport. And I have remote start on my truck, thank goodness. And I was laying in bed, and I hit the app on my phone. I'm like, please work, please, of all the days, please work. And it came on, and that just made that drive in the morning just go off to a way better start. But
I bet.
Yeah, I have both my parents are alumni of MSU. My dad was on the cross country track team in the 90s, and he told me stories. And then my mom told me stories about what it was like here. And then today, I mean, it's second day of school. I had a professor come in and say she's been here for 30 years and she's never seen negative 45. So I guess it's just the year, man. But hey, it's warm in the brick. Come on out. We got a big game on set. We got two big games on Saturday. And man, I can't believe the season's already at the halfway point, but it feels like it's just beginning. And kind of my mind for both teams, really, in very drastic different fashions. Because on the men's side, it looks like things are getting figured out. And like I kind of said at the beginning of the season, you know, my predictions and some of the things I've said, I'm not really proud of a couple of those, but one of those I really said is I think Logie's going to, you know, take that preseason, take that November, December timeframe to really figure out what he had, figure out schematics, scheme, and those kind of things. And I think he's really done a lot of great things in that. And I watched his 406 interview today that he did a couple days ago, and he just seems more confident. He seems like he's got it rolling. He seems like they have a game plan of what they're going to do every game now. And that's what I really appreciate. And then on the women's side, things not going as great with the start of conference. I was really optimistic with, you know, how hard, you know, it was 500 right around there for, you know, the preseason. But then they played a much harder preseason. They went out and won some games that were really impressive. And then, man, just a string of injuries, which just really stinks. And it's just not what we would expect of the women's team, and it's hard to see that. But dude, what are you thinking? Because we're at this point where I can't believe we're halfway done, but it just feels like we're just beginning. We're just figuring out what's happening here with these teams.
My first reaction is there's no way it's halfway over. that is absolutely crazy. Just mind blowing to me. Yeah, I was looking at the school schedule. Obviously, I'm a teacher, and so I'm like, oh, we're about ready to turn that corner into second semester. So yeah. We're about 2 months out from Boise, right? So,
yep.
You know, I'm not watching a lot of women's basketball right now, but I do catch up with the men pretty regularly. It's good to see those guys kind of getting their roles defined. It looks like there's more chemistry within the team. And, you know, knock on wood this week that we can beat the Grizzlies, but it looks like we're trending in the right direction. I know we are trending in the right direction. It's good to see. Last time you and I talked, we're talking about Logie, and you're like, man, he just looks unhappy. Like, he's going through a tough stretch.
He looked dejected. I mean, I think with Thorny, we dived into some of the stats of he's never been in this place as a head coach in his entire, I think, 12-year head coaching career, which is crazy. I mean, that's a really impressive resume to never be in a hard stretch of this to be like, man, like, what do I do now? But we've had kind of a week and a half off. We've had kind of this weird break where, you know, students are back in classes. And
yeah,
I think it was kind of a pre-planned little break. But here we go. And we're 3-1 in conference. And as crazy it may sound, we're the number two team in the conference early in the season, which is Eastern at 3-0, you know, doing their thing. Man, they're right back to being what they've been, even with losing a key piece of their roster last year. And then Weber, you know, unexpectedly dropped two games. I did not see that coming. That was a little bit of a surprise too. And, you know, you could say a lot of things about the Northern Colorado win of, you know, I think I texted you guys and I said, and what I kind of thinks is the games may not, it might be like the NBA with this team a little bit, where the game doesn't start till, you know, midway through the fourth quarter in the NBA. Where I kind of feel with the Cats right now is we might not have games really start till about 7 minutes to go, because it feels like it's going to be within 4 points either direction.
Yeah.
With this team so far. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. And, I expect nothing different in the brawl. And on my Northern Colorado point, I mean, the thing I took is, yeah, you're on the back to back of, you come off an emotional victory beating the Grizz in overtime, and then you have to come to Bozeman and play, you know, the second half of your roads, which is never easy. But still, for the Cats to look like that in a game they were not favored, and a lot of people I had talked to were not expecting, you know, just the same old same thing if we were just, you know, be in it and then lose by, you know, 8 or 10 points of what I had heard. And to see him come out, fight like that, and finishing was just impressive. And that's the thing I've really seen a lot of.
Absolutely. Can't disregard going 2-0 last week is huge for the Cats as well, coming off Northern Arizona. Northern Arizona is really struggling right now. Let's just put it and say that, air that out loud. They are. And well, and sometimes, you know, that's what you need.
We needed
a team that's
kind
of struggling.
That was what we needed at that moment.
Yeah, get right game, a big win. And right, like you said, Northern Colorado coming in. And I think I texted you, or maybe it was Thorny, and I was like, you know, if we win this game, that's going to be huge. And you're right. We hit some big shots at the end. Northern Colorado missed some threes, some timely threes, which kind of helped us, but we didn't collapse. And no matter how you slice it, Zach, once you get those type of wins, no matter how they come, they're infectious. It starts breeding confidence in the players, the coaches, the atmosphere, fans like you and me. We start talking about it a little bit more. And I've been kind of holding my breath a little bit, because I know we're probably slight underdogs coming into this game against the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies should have a more veteran roster than we do. I know that for sure. There's no reason we can't beat these guys.
Yeah. Two or three weeks ago, you asked me that coming off the South Dakota State game. I'd be like, yeah, right. But we might have figured something out. We might have turned a corner here. We might, you know, we might be there. I think it's going to be it's obviously Cat Grizz, but students are back in town. You've just won a couple games. You have a little momentum going into this thing. I think the building's going to be loud. I'm expecting the biggest crowd. I should be easily, but we should have a darn near packed house for this one. And this is a victory that I think we really need. And to think this will, if we look back in a couple years, this could be a Logie victory if it happens. That we could say, hey man, that started it right there. That was the moment we started believing. And you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Ted Lasso, but you know, those little victories in a season like this can build the things like that. And so you just got to believe. And so that's kind of where I was at. If this team's believing, if they, you know, they figured out the preseason jitters and just where guys go, where minutes go, what scheme. I've noticed kind of their rebounding and then their zone defensive scheme have changed a little bit. And if they've just kind of figured those things out, I mean, the last two games, you know, the Zach rebounding and 3-point trackers that I've been doing, we out rebounded NAU and UNC by 10 each. And I mean, those are, we shot a lot less threes, but our 3-point efficiency went way up. I think we're 6 for 15 and 8 and 20. And that's how you win games right there. I mean, that's how you win games. And we weren't seeing those. So I don't know if it's shots up in the gym or just training, but practice is working, things are working, and not being on the road also seems to be working as well.
You seem to have more of a dynamic approach to offense too. We're not just strictly relying on the three ball. We're getting points in the paint as well, and we're getting some stops in the paints as well, which is really nice. Just quickly before we go on to more Bobcat news, looking at the scoreboard right now, this is a Thursday afternoon. We don't have the Thursday game every year. The Cats take the week off before the Cat Grizz. So did the Grizzlies, which gives us a weird Monday game afterwards. But Eastern Washington's down to Weber State, 47-39 at halftime. So if that's true, then they would both be 3-1 going into the categories, if that holds.
Yeah. And we could be very well playing for the lead of the conference. And then I think either you guys both looked at me crazy when I did say the expectation or the ceiling for this team could be maybe a semifinal run in the Big Sky tournament. And boy, if we beat the Grizz, I think that's absolutely the expectation at that point. But, you know, looking at these preseason things, it's only a few games, even though we're, you know, halfway through the season. But
yeah,
man, that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, now we're collecting, you know, player of the week honors with Robert Ford. Garacki's just, you know, I think he's coming into his own. And that is something that this team mm-hmm. needed with his transfer, with his kind of acquisition to the Division I level. He is absolutely coming into his own. And that guy, I think he's going to be around for a couple of years. He's going to be a stud. And he's a couple of years away maybe from being potentially a Big Sky player of the year if he continues on this track, because he is a young player. And so that's one thing to see is his progression just from the first game of the season and those early games when even the Rocky loss to now. He's playing better ball and he's fitting into the system a lot better. And it's really awesome to see that, you know, the team is improving and you can see the improvement week by week.
He's leading the Bobcats with about 16 points a game. And it's clear that he just has an it factor when in scoring the ball. He can hit shots inside, outside. He can hit fadeaways. He's really good at hitting a pop jumper inside the key. And he's just clutch at the line too. Like when we need free throws, like when Garacki goes to the line, I'm like, oh, thank God. You know, as far as, you know, the Cats at the line have been fairly impressive, to be honest with you. We've hit some big shots and when we needed it at the stripe, and Robert Ford being one of those guys as well. He's money.
So you put me onto the free throw thing. So I was doing, you know, my research today, and I thought it was kind of funny because I was like, man, Tyler Patterson's shooting 100% from the free throw line. That's awesome. And then I saw he's only shot 2 free throws
that's
all
wild.
Season. And then it kind of reminded me of the Brody Grebe getting held and only getting a holding, one or two holding. I'm like, dude, that dude shoots all the time. How has he not gotten more fouls or more shots up? That's crazy. You know, mm-hmm. it's not a drive the lane Danny Sprinkle style. I get that. He's shooting from the outside a lot, but dude, you've only been to the line once all season and you've played in all 17 games and you're leading the team at 34 minutes. How have you only shot 2 free throws? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, that is wild. So,
that was something that stood out. But man, here we are. Here we are at Cat Grizz Week, and it's nice that we get them at home first. I think that's going to set the tone that you have the women's game at 2 and you have the men's game at 7 here, Mountain Time. And boy, to only think what 2 victories there would do for both these teams. It's, you know, it's always good to win those games, and yes, but rivalry. But this year, just, you know, you always want to beat them, but this year it just feels different that this would jumpstart a season.
Correct, right? And it's going to just fuel the juice that everybody's been feeling lately. Like, it feels like Montana State's like kind of taken off. And if we get a win in the break,
don't look back.
Oh man,
don't let us. That's kind of where I'm at.
Just full throttle, right? It's just going forward from there.
And the other thing that I've thought about is if you get a big emotional win against the Grizz and you do it in front of, you know, the students who don't know this team, don't know who Matt Logie is at this point. If you go out and get this win and these students see it and it's a rambunctious crowd, they're going to be back the next week and the week after that. And then it's contagious and it's caught on. And I think we saw that a little bit with the Sprinkle era, how that kind of caught on with the attendance. But man, I just think we're right there. I think we're close. And I don't think I would have said that a month ago, but I think we figured some stuff out. Now, if we lose by 25 and, you know, it's over at halftime, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, now back to the drawing board. But I don't see us getting blown out. I see this season, especially with the men's team, going the way, for the most part, of I think 75, 80% of our games are going to come down to the last 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that's crazy to say, but that's, I mean, I think it was the Vikings last year in the NFL who had all those one score games. I think that's kind of how we're going to be. We're going to be that one score game style team where we're just going to have to, you know, hunt it out that way.
We've been that way all year, aside for a couple games, you know, wins and losses. We've done both at the end of the match. So that's good. I like it, yeah. Man. Can't wait.
All right. Well, the Grizz are 11-6. Yeah, obviously, I mentioned the Northern Colorado loss in overtime, but they have a lot to play for in this season too. Their season, even though they're 2-2 in conference, we're early. We'll see what happens. I think there's a lot of teams that are up in the air. We clearly thought Weber was head and shoulders above them, but if they come down to earth a little bit, you never know.
Yeah, so
that's where I'm kind of out on that. This is Logie's first brawl. He did say in his press conference, his kind of not informal press conference on the court after practice, that the media asked him about, what's the emotion, and I don't think he's ready for this or understood this, especially because he mentioned, he goes, we've had guys who played in big games like state championships. I think the brawl is different than anything else. A rivalry game like this is different. And I don't know if the places, Whitworth or Point Loma had a rival like this. So I'm curious how he's going to deal with the rivalry side of it.
Yeah.
And that's something I had a thought of, rivalries taking their own meetings and stuff. And, we talked about this with the football team of how you can't treat this like any other game or any other big game. This is different. You got to understand the alumni care about this more, fans, the media just cares about it more. It's just got a different feeling to it. So I thought it was interesting. He said, we've had guys who have played in big games before. And I'm like, yeah, this is a big game, but it's a different kind of big game.
Yeah. So he's got to lean into his players. He's got to lean into Robert Ford. I know he gave a presser today. I wasn't able to hear it, but seeing that, he has to communicate to Coach Logie. He's like, just the feelings of this, what it feels like, what it means to the players and, like you said, the fans. And you just got to go through it. I imagine nothing's going to prepare him for it. He's just got to feel it for himself. It's its own beast. But it means a lot. But at the end of the day, basketball's kind of different than football, right? Because
it has that different feel because you play
twice, right? You play twice, and then what really matters is when we get to Boise.
Yeah. Well, anyway, one of the other things, bringing up rivalries, I know you're not on Twitter or anything, but Idaho and Idaho State fans have been jawing ourselves. Have you seen what the King Spud trophy is? And if you haven't, I'll give you a second to look it up. Yeah. That thing is the funniest looking thing ever. And Idaho State has just been destroying Idaho fans with the King Spud trophy. And as somebody who, I love a good trophy, and it's the goofiest thing I've ever seen. And I love it. And I kind of wish we had a trophy. And I don't know what Montana would have. What would be, pure a Huckleberry trophy or something, but what would be like
golden,
I don't know, buckle. Like a ski, like, yeah, a belt buckle or something like that. But I had that thought of like, what a trophy, it would be fun to have just a goofy trophy to laud fans over. And I think that brings something to, the Midwest is famous for all their trophies in the Big Ten. And I think that would be just kind of funny just to have a trophy for this game. So
King Spud, man, you see that once, you can't unsee it. It's going to haunt you in your dreams.
It's scary looking, but it's also is. Goofy looking. Oh, only Idaho, man. Only the state of Idaho.
Yeah.
But all right. So then on top of that, my final kind of note I wanted to bring up, and I prefaced this because it's been a topic with Jeff Choate back kind of in the West at Nevada. And now Bobcat fans as a whole, I'm talking to the fan base here, we have developed, I don't know if it's a disease, we've caught a flu of some sort of coaches who have moved on from us with immense success, and I'm a part of this now. I can't keep my eyes off Danny Sprinkle and what he's doing at Utah State, and I've watched several of his games, and it's thrilling.
Yeah.
But I just think it's something about this fan base of, it's awesome because it shows we've had success in the last 10 years on now the basketball side and now the football side. And that's awesome. But man, we just can't get over our dudes who have gone on to bigger. And I don't want to say better because we're pretty good, but just bigger things of bigger universities and bigger budgets. And it's just crazy. And so I was going to say, my kind of question I was going to pose to you is, how do you kind of see the fan base, or what do you kind of think of, are we going to treat kind of Danny Sprinkle like we have Jeff Choate, where he comes up in every message board, everything coming forward, and just kind of what your thoughts were on that?
Gosh, there's still a large contingency of Bobcat fans who hold and love Jeff Choate dear in their hearts. And I get it. He was the Grizz Slayer. He gave Montana State the chip, the bravado, the face of the university just felt tougher when he was around. And that feels distinctly Montanan to me. Tough SOBs who win big games, and that was Jeff Choate. And I still miss him. It's not to say I don't love Coach Vegan. It's just a different personality, right? And I think his magnetic personality allowed fans, or just, you know, attracted fans in droves, especially coming off the heels of Rob Ash. Completely different people, right? So he's always going to be remembered fondly for that. Danny Sprinkle, one of Montana's finest from Helena, Montana, probably, like, if you were just objectively looking at it, did better than Jeff Choate at just kicking ass in his sport. I mean, taking the team from basically the doldrums to back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances.
Yeah.
I don't think Montana State fans will hold Danny Sprinkle in as high regard as Jeff Choate. I just don't. And he deserves all of it. And he's an amazing coach. But I think this was because I think people knew from early on Danny Sprinkle was not going to be here for a long time.
I had that inkling about last year. I'm like, man, he's just winning too much. He's just built such a good roster.
Yeah. So. And it was clear to see that he was built for bigger things. Danny Sprinkle, no doubt, if he continues his success over at Utah State, one season, two season, you know, he's moving up. He's just going to, he's on that trajectory right now. And that's really cool because he played for Montana State, coached at Montana State. We'll always be proud of Danny Sprinkle.
Yeah, he's going to be one of the hottest names in coaching, in my opinion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If not this offseason, the offseason after, I don't think he's going to be long for there. He's got him at number 16 in the country. I get it. Utah State won a tournament last year, but they had no returning starters. And we all know how hard it is to restart a team. And he came in and he put some guys in place. And what he's done there is just remarkable. And it's one of those things, too, where I think, you know, no matter what Vegan does, no matter what Logie does, it's no fault of their own for this. But, you know, I believe Jeff Choate, didn't he play at Montana Western? Or he was he's a Montanan as well, native. You had two Montana natives who were just leading these programs and kind of came out and said, you know, the S is over. We're not taking this anymore. We're taking this conference by the horns. We're taking the rivals by the horns. We're going to the top. And boy, were they both rocket ships for that in different ways. Yeah. And we saw that, and it was what a ride. And not to look in the past for it, but it's just crazy. And I feel bad. I almost feel bad for Logie and Vegan a little bit, because I think they get put in these parts of, you know, you have to replace these guys, and they're almost like Montana State legends, but they were only each here for like 4 years, which is crazy to think about. But you've got these guys that what they did is just truly special for this university. And so I've been thinking about that a lot lately, of how are we as fans, not because we're never going to get over this, we're always going to remember that, we're always going to see them. And if Choate turns around Nevada in a few years, we'll definitely see that, because he might be on that same trajectory for a Power 5 job. So that was kind of my last kind of leading thoughts of that. If I'm pretty happy. I think Logie was the right hire. I think he's still the right hire. And I think he's going to do some awesome things. And I'm really excited to see where it goes. And I think Vegan, with, you know, the turnover in the football program as well, with the two new coordinators, man, I'm pumped for next year. I'm pumped for that New Mexico start. I still have that bitter taste of the North Dakota State loss in my head. But man, I'm so pumped to see what this team is. And so it's crazy, because it's like, we got two heck of coaches here now. But yeah, it's just weird for the fan base as well as myself. I've personally thought about letting that go of, man, how do you let those guys go and not follow them, but also talk about not following them?
It's tough. And I don't envy any of them, because I guess in summation, if Coach Vegan and Coach Logie have a trend of losing to the Grizzlies, it's not going to go well for them.
No.
It just won't.
No.
If you have a history of losing to the rivals and then maybe losing in big games, I don't know, that's to be determined for both these guys, but that's not going to go well for them. So you need to have, you can't manufacture the bravado that Choate had. That was just Choate. And Sprinkle had, he preaches culture. Like, that's the number one thing. I recently heard him say, he's like, if you let culture slip one day, you're over. Like, you have to have that. You have to be the line. You have to set culture. It can't just be something you dabble in. It has to be what we're about. That's how you get
rents
players
due,
to stay at Montana.
Rents due.
Yeah. That's how you get players to stay at Montana State.
Yeah.
That's how you get players to buy in and then talk to the guys and love their brothers, because Montana State's always going to be a revolving door for the portal if we're not. But if we get guys to say, hey, Montana State's special because we make it special, because it's just the culture is just phenomenal. Hey, that's what it takes. So Coach Vegan, Coach Logie, that's what they have to do.
Yep. And, you know, Sprinkle was a lot more animated, especially on social media with the rents due. And yep. I'm going to butcher this, but the Ubuntu, the family motto that he had too, that, you know, man, that social media presence was just, especially last year, getting ready for the tournament and that run. It was just, you know, contagious of what social media was at that point for that. And I haven't seen a lot of that. I know they're trying to build that up and stuff, but it's different. And I think we're still all getting used to it as fan base. But I'll get a lot more used to it when if we beat the Grizz this weekend, and if we continue on this trend. But all right, man, we'll wrap this thing up. I know you have a concert to get to tonight, and I have class tomorrow. It's nice to say that again. It's a good semester. Good luck to all the Bobcats out there who are back in class. I know a couple of them were listening. But all right, man, before we get out of here, can I get a Go Cats from you?
Go Cats.
Go Cats.